Some psycho stalker trying to get to me through my family, are you? You have an overinflated opinion of my interest in you. Chris didn't mention the lust licking her skin at the sight of him slouched in his seat, wearing an old blue t-shirt that stretched across his shoulders and muscular biceps. A crazy urge to run her hand over the front of his shirt gripped her. Just to check if the tea was as soft as it looked, of course. We were working together. I don't need to get to you through your family.
Fine, but you didn't answer my question. How did you and Sky really meet?
As mad as he was at Skylar, Chris didn't want to give up the girl's secret. Skylar didn't want Nate to know she'd joined Mentor, and Chris was no snitch. Ask your sister.
You're seriously not going to tell me?
Ask your sister, she repeated. Nate let out a long, exasperated sigh.
Women.
Speaking of women, how are things going with Gloria? Chris switched the subject to safer territory. He side-eyed her, but didn't comment on the changing conversation.
Good. She's gotten bolder. She all but offered me a blowjob in front of the downstairs bathroom the other day.
Chris grimaced. She should be happy. Their plan was right on track. But the thought of Nate getting physically involved with Gloria irritated her beyond measure.
I'm going to pull the trigger soon, Nate said. Ask her to meet me at a hotel. You can get your PI in place.
Great. Chris twirled her gold bangle around her wrist. She'd been focused on getting rid of Gloria for so long that she expected to feel more excited about the stepmonster's imminent departure from her life. But she found it hard to muster up her previous enthusiasm. The past few weeks, she'd been wrapped up in her fake relationship with Nate. Only, it didn't feel fake. The chemistry was real. The laughter was real. The way her heart leapt when she saw him was real. Fuck. The Ferris wheel ground to a halt. Chris thought the ride had ended, but when she looked up, she realized they were sitting at the top of the ride. Is it supposed to stop like this? Chris hadn't been on a Ferris wheel in forever. She didn't like amusement parks, but the experience had been tolerable so far.
No. Nate peered over the edge. Seems like we're stuck.
What?
They'll fix it soon, he assured her. Don't worry.
A few seconds later, they heard an announcement confirming that they were indeed stuck because of a mechanical issue, and that engineers were working on getting them down as soon as possible. Chris's heart pounded against her chest. If I die in a fucking Ferris wheel, I'm going to haunt you for eternity. Nate looked unfazed.
I didn't force you to get on.
Technicalities.
Are you scared of heights?
No. But that didn't mean she enjoyed getting stuck in a giant metal contraption 85 feet above the ground.
We might be stuck for a while, Nate mused. Could be hours.
Hours? Chris groaned. She knew she should have said no when Skylar asked her for a girls' night at the pier. This was what she got for trying to be nice. Why do you sound so unconcerned? Something squeaked, and Chris forced herself not to jump at the sound. She'd meant what she said about haunting him, and everyone who had anything to do with this Ferris wheel, if she died here. Vengeance would make the afterlife so much more interesting.
There's nothing we can do about it, Nate shrugged. At least we're not in a life-or-death situation. We just have to wait it out. In the meantime, there's a beautiful view, beautiful girl.
Chris snorted. By now, she knew how he operated. Nate was flirty and charming by nature, so his words didn't mean anything. At all. They fell into a comfortable silence, during which she stared out at the admittedly beautiful view, while Nate leaned back and closed his eyes like he was taking a nap. After 10 minutes of no sound other than the waves, wind, and distant laughter of people on the ground, Nate spoke up.
You're not really going to go out with Elijah, are you?
His eyes remained closed, but his body was tense and coiled, like a cobra waiting to strike. He resembled a beautiful statue in repose. Who? He made an impatient sound.
Blue hair.
Right. Blue hair's real name was Elijah. Nate had said so at the cafe.
And Elijah had told her too, probably. Chris hadn't paid much attention. She only gave him her number because he'd mentioned he played in a band. And she'd promised Susan she would help look for entertainment options for Mentor's summer gala. They had a limited budget. But Elijah said he'd check with the band and let her know if they were up for a charity gig. If so, Chris would have to screen them first and make sure they weren't totally shit-tastic before she booked them.
Because you're supposed to be dating me, Nate continued. Don't want to mess things up with the Gloria plan until it's finished.
I thought you were worried about me hurting your friend. You're not the type of girl who would ever let your guard down enough to get hurt. It hadn't been an insult per se, and Chris shouldn't have gotten as worked up as she had, but Nate's words had hit a little too close to home. Her last boyfriend had been Colin, whom she'd dated for a few months her freshman year of college. She'd met him at a charity event, and they'd hit it off. He was a few years older than her, but she'd liked how mature he was compared to the frat bros on campus. Colin had been nice, cute, successful. But Chris had never let him into her private thoughts and life. And when he'd pushed her on it, always wanting to know more than she was willing to reveal, she'd broken things off. Displaying vulnerability was not her thing. Yet sometimes she wished it was. It'd be nice to talk to someone about the fears and insecurities that plagued her in the middle of the night. Not a therapist, but someone who actually cared about her and who could relate to how she felt. But you couldn't get everything you wished for. Not even if your name was Chris Carrera. Nate shrugged, the movement drawing Chris out of her thoughts.
There are multiple reasons why you guys are a bad match.
She brushed a stray strand of hair out of her eyes.
You seem awfully invested in my love life.
Maybe I am.
The air shifted. It happened so fast, it was like someone flipped a switch. And the change did something to Chris's insides. To her heart, which suddenly pounded. To her stomach, which suddenly twisted. To her throat, which suddenly dried. For once in her life, she didn't have a sarcastic comeback or a witty insult. Nate hadn't moved an inch, but his chest rose and fell harder than it had a minute ago. His eyes flickered with heat, and the tendrils of warmth traveled the space between them and wrapped themselves around Chris. Silk ribbons against sensitive flesh.
Do you remember our contract?
His voice was all gravel. Chris nodded.
You promised me a kiss.
She thought he'd forgotten. He hadn't mentioned it since the day they signed their contract, and he hadn't tried to kiss her once. All he did was nuzzle her neck and put his arm around her when they were in front of Gloria. Chris didn't like it when people strong-armed her, and that'd been what Nate did when he made their deal contingent on a kiss. But in this moment, on this Ferris wheel, the girl who thought she had everything wanted nothing more than for the boy sitting across from her to kiss her.
You said you wouldn't kiss me until I begged for it. She struggled to keep her voice even. Newsflash. Still not happening. Chris might be dying to feel his lips beneath hers, but she had her pride, and it was the only thing keeping her from launching herself at Nate like a lust-crazed heathen. Nate erased the distance between them and settled in the seat next to hers.
That's where you're wrong,
he drawled, his eyes dark with intent.
I'm never wrong.
There's a first time for everything.
A breeze swept by, blowing a few stray hairs into her eyes again. Nate brushed them out of the way before capturing a thicker lock between his fingers.
Like silk,
he murmured, rubbing the smooth, dark strands.
Tell me, have you ever been kissed on a Ferris wheel?
Thump, thump, thump. No,
Chris managed, ordering her heart to shut up. It didn't listen.
It's horribly cliche. Nate looked thoughtful, as if he were mulling her words over and searching for any signs of untruth.
Perhaps. But that doesn't mean it's not enjoyable. I think we should test it out.
Nate Reynolds, are you trying to seduce me? That's not what I'm paying you for, she should have added.
Except she didn't.
His dangerous grin did wonderful, horrible things to her suddenly shaky knees. Thank God she was sitting down. A faceplant would have been humiliating and, judging by the state of the ground, unhygienic.
Now, if I were trying to seduce you, I'd do this.
Nate pressed his mouth to the hollow of her throat, his coffee and leather scent enveloping her.
And this?
He made his way to her ear, which he nibbled.
And this?
His hand drifted to her bare thigh, which he caressed with slow, lazy sweeps of his palm. Chris shivered, the warmth of his touch contrasting with the chill in the air now that the sun had set. Goosebumps blossomed on her arms and legs, while something inside her melted and pooled in her belly and between her thighs. You're cheating. Her voice sounded far more breathless than she would have liked.
Am I?
Another lazy sweep of his palms, this time inching closer to her heated core.
How so?
You know how.
I want you to say it.
Nate's lips whispered over the delicate skin of her throat. His thumb rubbed a circle on the inside of her thigh, and Chris gripped the edge of her seat with one hand, her breath turning shallow. No. He tisked in disappointment.
Perhaps you want me to stop instead.
Silence. A soft laugh.
That's what I thought.
You are insufferable, Chris ground out, even as her skin throbbed with frustration and arousal. Nate wasn't right for her in so many ways. He wasn't even a good candidate for a casual fling, given how tied up he was in her Gloria scheme. But she wanted him all the same.
Not the worst thing I've been called.
Nate lifted his head and captured her gaze with his.
All you have to do is ask. And we could do something a hell of a lot more fun than talking.
You mean kissing?
Sure, kissing.
His eyes shone with laughter. If he thought he could get past first base with her on a freaking Ferris wheel, he had another thing coming. Never mind the fact that she was already halfway to orgasm. I don't beg.
So you said.
Nate's voice deepened into a soft growl.
But if you don't stop looking at me like that, I might kiss you anyway. And not on your lips. Or your neck.
Chris's thighs clenched as another wave of heat consumed her. She should have slapped him for how forward he was being. But all she could think about was his hands pinning her hips down and his head buried between her legs. She wasn't big on public sex. But the thought that someone could catch them sent a thrill through her body. Why am I even thinking about this? It wasn't like she was actually going to let him go down on her here. Or anywhere. Her eyes dropped to his mouth, taking in the sculpted curve of his lips. Another growl emitted from his throat.
Chris.
A loud whine sliced through her air, and she jerked back in surprise. Another quieter whine, a short stutter, and then the wheels started moving again. They were no longer stuck. Chris scooted to the other end of the bench until she was as far away from Nate as possible. The wheel's slow descent shook her out of her fog and straight into, "What the hell were you thinking?" territory. Nate didn't speak or attempt to close the distance between them again. Instead, he watched her quietly with those mesmerizing eyes, all emotion wiped from his face. When they hit the ground level and the operator opened the gate to their pod, she all but flew out of her seat. Damn you, Skylar, Chris thought. Her heart beat a loud snare drum that overrode the rest of her senses. She should be at home, FaceTiming Courtney or watching Netflix, not getting messed up in the head about a guy she'd known for, what, a month? She and Nate walked down the main drag of the pier in silence for a few minutes,
before she felt compelled to clear the air. Listen, this isn't a good idea.
What, walking? Nate drawled. She released an exasperated sigh.
No, this, she gestured between them. What happened back there wasn't... We're not really dating.
Never said we were.
We shouldn't get involved in any way, except for the Gloria thing.
Agreed.
Chris frowned, a little irritated by Nate's quick, casual reply. Okay. She cleared her throat again. Okay. Damn. She'd already said that, hadn't she?
More walking. More silence.
She supposed she could leave now that Skylar was gone. But she was strangely reluctant to do so. I could use more fresh air, Chris told herself. And the pier was nice at night if you overlooked the hordes of badly dressed tourists.
I never figured you for the punk rock type, Nate said.
Her brow knitted in confusion. Excuse me?
Elijah.
Still with that casual tone of his.
Didn't think you'd be under the blue hair and facial piercings.
Dear God, not this again. She was too tired to get into another argument. I'm not. Chris had nothing against unnatural hair colors or piercings per se, but she wasn't attracted to blue hair, or Elijah, in the least.
You gave him your number.
Not that it's any of your business, but I wanted his help with an event I'm planning, she said coolly. He said his band might be up for a free gig. If she weren't so annoyed, she would have laughed at the stunned look on Nate's face.
Oh, he coughed. That's... He didn't tell me that.
That's on him. Chris wasn't an idiot. She could tell Elijah was attracted to her, but it wasn't like the guy was in love or anything. He probably hit on every decent-looking female who walked into Alchemy. But like I said, it's none of your business. We're not actually dating. She was tired of saying that. But she hoped repeating it would drill the sentiment into Nate's and her own head.
Right.
This time, Nate was the one who frowned.
My bank account isn't big enough for that.
Chris wasn't sure she'd heard him correctly. Excuse me?
I imagine you only go for the richy riches.
His jaw flexed.
Which, again, parity and net worths and all that.
For the umpteenth time that day, her temper flared. Is that what you think of me? That I would date someone based on how much money they had?
He cut a glance in her direction. I don't know. You tell me. How many of your exes came from a non-upper-class background?
Chris opened her mouth, but no rebuttal came forth. Shit. He was right. She didn't date much, but all her ex-boyfriends, hell, all her ex-hookups, belonged in the trust fund category. It was funny, she had no problem being a snob about clothes and cars, but distilling a person down to their net worth felt gross. My exes and I ran in the same social circles, she said, sounding defensive to her own ears. I didn't date them because they're rich. It just happened that way.
Sure.
Chris's lips thinned. Look, I don't know what hang-ups you have about money.
I don't have hang-ups about money.
But you need to slow it with the accusations.
I don't know why we're...
The loud chime of an incoming call interrupted their argument. Nate glanced at his phone.
I have to take this,
he muttered. Chris turned her head and stared at the Ferris wheel glowing against the night sky. It had been less than half an hour since they'd gotten off the ride, but it felt like a lifetime ago. The pier's energy electrified the air, bouncing off the people and buildings until it swirled around Chris in a maelstrom of anticipation. Nate's voice was low as he spoke into his phone.
Hey, this isn't a good... Wait, what?
Her gaze snapped back to Nate. He'd gone pale, and panic tinged with fear bled into his voice.
Hold on, he said. I'll be right there. Don't worry, everything will be fine.
What's wrong? Chris asked when he hung up.
Concern eroded her earlier irritation.
Nate raked a hand through his hair, his eyes glassy.
It's my dad. He's in the hospital.
Chapter 10. They made it to the hospital in record time, probably breaking a few laws along the way. Chris hadn't asked questions, hadn't given Nate the sad pity eyes he hated, the kind he couldn't escape after his mom died. Instead, she'd marched them straight to her car after his announcement and driven like the devil to Los Angeles County Hospital. All the tension from their stupid argument had disappeared, replaced by fraught worry. They found Skylar in the waiting room, shaken but holding it together, all things considered. Based on what she'd told Nate when she called, she'd gone straight home from the pier and discovered their father passed out at the bottom of the stairs. At first, she'd thought he was unconscious after drinking too much, a common occurrence, until she'd noticed his blue-tinged skin and weak, irregular breathing. That was when she'd freaked out and called 911 and Nate. A quick check-in with the doctor revealed Michael contracted alcohol poisoning after, yep, drinking too much. It was a new low, and Nate was torn between fury and panic over his father's situation. Luckily, Skylar had found Michael in time. If she'd come home even an hour later, the elder Reynolds might have already choked to death on his vomit. Michael was in stable condition after the doctor gave him intravenous fluids, with vitamins and glucose to stop the dehydration and increase his blood sugar. But the hospital was keeping him overnight for monitoring and evaluation. Chris drove Skylar home while Nate filled out paperwork, much to Skylar's consternation. She'd wanted to stay, but Nate had insisted she get some rest, since she had soccer camp tomorrow. Their dad was fine. He was asleep and the nurses would take care of him. Nate sat in front of his father's room after he finished the paperwork, too exhausted to move. He was pissed at his old man for putting himself in danger like that, for drinking so much he'd planted himself at death's door. But Michael was still his father. He was still the man who'd taught Nate how to swim and let him win at arm wrestling. 7-year-old Nate had thought he was the strongest kid in the world because he'd beat his dad, his superhero dad, at arm wrestling. What Nate wouldn't give to get those days and his dad back. He leaned his head against the wall and closed his eyes, tempted to pass out right there in the hospital hallway. Maybe he did pass out. He didn't know. But after an indeterminate amount of time, a whiff of amber and florals edged out the omnipresent antiseptic in the air and caused him to crack open his eyes. He raised his head and blinked once, twice. "What are you doing here?" His voice came out scratchy and tired.
"I brought you food."
Chris handed him a soda and an In-N-Out bag.
"You need to eat."
"I'm not hungry."
"Eat!"
Her tone brooked no opposition, and Nate was too exhausted to argue. The minute he opened the bag, the smell of burger and fries slammed into his nostrils and woke the monster. His stomach had been asleep all this time, playing second fiddle to his nerves and overworked brain. But now it roared to life, demanding attention. 5 minutes later, he'd demolished all the food. Nate finished the last fry and looked up to find Chris staring at him with wide eyes. "Sorry." Guilt crawled into his now satiated stomach. "I should have offered you some before I went all Conan the Barbarian on the food."
"No, I already ate with Skylar."
Chris's mouth twitched.
"You eat like a starved bear."
A laugh rumbled in Nate's chest, catching him by surprise. It felt damn good, though. "Guess I was hungry after all." He crumpled the bag into a ball and tossed it into a nearby trash can. "You didn't have to come back. You could have, should have, gone home after dropping Skylar off." Chris lifted her shoulder.
"It's not like I had anything else to do. Besides, I wanted to make sure..."
She hesitated.
"Skylar's fine, by the way. She passed out right after she got home."
She'd known what Nate was going to ask before he asked it. "Thanks for driving her," he said softly. "And for staying." He hadn't expected her to be so nice, especially not after he'd been such a dick to her at the pier. He hadn't meant to go so hard on her, but he'd been all wound up from their Ferris wheel ride, the sexiest, most frustrating Ferris wheel ride of his life. And the way she'd repeated, "We aren't actually dating," like she'd never dream of being with someone like him. Fuck. It had driven him crazy and straight into Assholeville. Yet here she was, keeping him company in front of his alcoholic father's hospital room after driving him here, driving his sister home, and feeding him. Gratitude, regret, and embarrassment sloshed in his stomach. About earlier, at the pier, Nate grimaced. I was a dick. I shouldn't have said those things to you. I don't think you're that snobby, vapid, stuck up. Chris shrugged. Her dress was wrinkled from sitting too long, and her normally perfect hair fell in messy waves around her face. She'd never looked more beautiful. It's water under the bridge. Besides, I am snobby and stuck up, though I'd like to think I'm not that vapid. And I don't choose who I hang out with based on the size of their bank accounts. You're not stuck up, he said automatically. A ghost of a smile touched her lips. But I am snobby? Shit. No. I mean, it's fine, she laughed. I appreciate the apology, and I know what you meant. It's been a long day. Chris's gaze drifted toward Michael's room. How's your dad doing? He's fine. Stable. Nate rubbed a hand over his face. You really don't have to stay. You've done more than enough.
I don't have to, but I want to.
Something reached inside Nate's chest and squeezed. Hard. He let out a sharp exhale and averted his gaze. You want to get out of here? He couldn't bear to look at the white walls and listen to the faint, incessant beeping of monitors any longer. There's a place I want to show you, if you're not too tired. Chris hesitated, and he suppressed a flinch at his idiotic question. Of course she's tired, asshole. It's past midnight.
Let's do it, she said.
Relief and a strange, warm feeling he couldn't identify fizzled through him. Nate cast one last look at his father's room before leaving. They entered the elevator and rode it to the garage in silence. Shit. He couldn't believe Chris had witnessed all the drama with his father. He never let anyone outside his family in on how bad things were, not even Elijah. It was none of their business, and the last thing Nate wanted was anyone feeling sorry for him. Fortunately, Chris hadn't thrown him a pity party. She was sympathetic, but she didn't look at him like he was some sad sack charity case whom she wanted to help. Nate was more grateful for that than anything else she'd done that night. Their footsteps echoed in the garage on their way to her Mercedes. Once they reached the gleaming silver convertible, Chris unlocked the car and tossed him the keys.
You drive.
His eyebrows shot up. You're kidding.
I don't kid.
She slid into the passenger seat, and Nate had no choice but to take the driver's seat. His heart rate kicked up as he surveyed the shiny high-tech dashboard and sleek black leather interior. This was hands down the most expensive car he'd ever been in, and as much as he loved his loyal Honda Civic, it would be nice to drive something that didn't have a 50-50 chance of dying on him in the middle of the freeway. Let's test this baby out. Nice. A Mercedes wasn't a Mustang or a Corvette, but the smooth, powerful purr of the engine was still music to his ears. Buckle up, Nate said with a grin. Warning, you might regret giving me the keys when this is all over. He was careful getting out of the garage and on the side streets, but once they were on the freeway, he put the top down and let it rip. Holy shit. If Nate weren't so dedicated to acting, he would have seriously considered a career in racing or something similar. The wind on his skin, the ability to control all that speed and power with a tap of his foot and a turn of the wheel, this must be what freedom felt like. During the ride, he checked on Chris to make sure she was doing okay. He shouldn't have worried. Her cheeks were flushed and her eyes sparkled like she was enjoying their wild ride through LA as much as he was. She'd even put her hair up in a bun so it wouldn't get messed up by the wind, he assumed. He found that oddly charming. By the time they arrived at their destination, Nate's heart pumped with adrenaline and exhilaration sang through his veins. When he cut the engine, the pounding in his ears intensified, prolonging his rush. So? He draped an arm over his headrest and twisted his body to face Chris.
You regret giving me the keys or what?
Hardly.
Chris smiled, smug as a cat that got the cream. I enjoy being chauffeured. Nate's laugh rang loud and clear in the still night air. You're something else, princess.
I know.
She smoothed her hands primly over her dress.
Good thing you didn't nick the car, or I would have had to kill you.
You could have tried. Her smile turned feral.
There are ways to kill a man that doesn't involve brute strength.
Nate narrowed his eyes, examining her words and expression the way a detective might. Remind me never to get on your bad side. Another smug expression before she swept her gaze over their surroundings.
This view is amazing.
They'd parked on a hill overlooking the city, and the view was pretty damn spectacular. Not many people knew about the spot, though. It wasn't clearly marked, hence why they were the only ones here. Nate stumbled upon it by accident one day when he'd gotten lost after a disastrous audition. He'd been so in his head about what he could've, should've done at casting that he'd taken a wrong turn and, boom, Lostville. He had figured it out in the end, thank you, Google Maps, even though it liked to spaz out and fuck with him sometimes, and snagged himself a secret hideout in the process. Not bad for what had been a shitty day. Today was also a shitty day, but he was with Chris, so it wasn't all bad. Her presence soothed him. She was the only other person he'd brought here. This was his getaway, the place he went when he needed to escape other people and think. But it felt right having her beside him as they gazed out over the glittering sprawl of the city.
A lot of people hate L.A.,
Chris said, propping her elbow on the top of the car door and resting her chin in her hand.
They say it's fake and plastic, materialistic. Coincidentally, they say that about me, too.
She didn't sound too bothered by that fact. Nate ran his gaze over Chris's profile. The stubborn tilt of her jaw, the sensual curve of her mouth. Illuminated by nothing other than moonlight, she resembled an ethereal goddess come to earth. That's not true. You're the realest person I've ever met. He meant it. Chris was prickly and a little spoiled, but she never pretended to be someone she wasn't. That was more than Nate could say for most people in this town, including himself. Her lips twisted into a wry smile.
But I'm materialistic.
We all are, in our own ways. Nate ran his hand over the polished wood of the dashboard. Money can't buy happiness, but it can buy comfort. Peace of mind, freedom from the stress of worrying about whether you can pay next month's rent. The people who said money didn't matter were probably rich hippies who didn't have to worry about it. Money might not be everything, but it meant a hell of a lot to those who were struggling to keep their heads above water. Nate knew that better than anyone.
You forgot one thing, Chris said.
He cocked a questioning eyebrow.
Money buys...
She paused, as if searching for the right word.
Loyalty, I guess, in its most fucked up form. If you buy something, it's yours, and people who are there for money will stay for the money. They're predictable that way, and it's less fickle than relying on love or innate decency. I guess that's why I like L.A., because it's all so predictable. No offense, she added.
None taken.
It's true,
Nate chuckled. God, we're cynical.
But realistic.
Yeah. Nate sometimes wished he could be as optimistic as Skylar. It seemed like a happier way to live life. But optimism didn't pay the bills. Which reminded him he needed to check whether their health insurance covered the total cost of Michael's hospital stay and treatment. If not, I have the money from my arrangement with Chris. That should cover it. Nate exhaled. He'd wanted to save the money for rent and a small emergency fund, but he supposed unexpected medical expenses fell under emergency.
Speaking of realistic.
Yeah?
Be honest, Chris said. Is this a makeout spot?
The question was so unexpected it took a few seconds for it to sink in. Once it did, Nate barked out a laugh, grateful for the spark of levity. Plus, the dark hilltop did resemble one of those makeout spots you saw in teen movies. He flashed Chris a roguish smile. It could be. He had no qualms about turning his hideout into a make-out spot. His father's trip to the hospital had killed the lingering arousal from the Ferris wheel ride, but now that he knew his family was safe and he was alone with Chris, well, let's just say Nate Jr. was up and about again, literally. All you have to do is ask, he added. He wasn't kidding about making her beg. He'd kind of been joking at first, but the more he thought about it, the more he liked the idea of Chris coming to him. He wanted her to kiss him because she wanted to, not because she had to. Though judging by her reaction on the Ferris wheel, she already wanted to. She just wouldn't admit it.
Is that so?
Chris appeared to be thinking it over, which surprised the hell out of him. He'd expected her to put up a fight. His cock was on board, though. Life vest on, head poking over the railing, all ready to go on this particular version of the love boat. It was so eager, you'd think she'd offered him a BJ instead of contemplating a simple lip-to-lip. Though there would be nothing simple about it once they reached that point. Chaste pecs were for visiting your great aunt, not for beautiful girls with a body made for sin and a mouth made for...
Kiss me, Chris said.
Nate narrowed his eyes, sure he'd heard wrong.
Kiss me, she repeated. Right now.
Cool, detached, not what he'd had in mind when he said beg. Just like that? Suspicion bled into his voice.
Sure,
Chris hitched a shoulder.
Look, it's part of our contract and it's just a kiss. I've kissed plenty of guys before.
Nate's lip curled up into an involuntary snarl.
You said all I have to do is ask, and I'm asking, she continued.
Damn. He should have been more specific in his language.
So, let's get this over with.
Oh, hell no. She was not going to get away with treating this like a doctor's appointment or a chore on her to-do list. Just like that, his plans changed. Chris shifted like she sensed the change in the atmosphere or spotted the sinister gleam in his eyes. Since you asked so nicely, Nate's teeth flashed white in the darkness. Who am I to say no? He leaned forward, enjoying the small hitch in her breath as he got closer, closer. And then his lips were on hers and fuck. She tasted like rich wine and honey and heaven. Nate hadn't touched alcohol in years, but he was getting drunk off the taste of her. His head swam, his cock and his heart pounding in unison as he devoured her. Chris was stiff at first, like she didn't quite trust what was happening. But after he nudged her lips open with his tongue and deepened the kiss, she melted into him. Pure male satisfaction swirled inside him at her unspoken surrender. Mine. Nate angled Chris's head back so he could explore her mouth, his fingers gripping her hair so tight she gasped. She didn't flinch at his punishing hold. In fact, her hands clawed his shoulders, and her breath came out in shallow, needy pants. She swiped her tongue across his bottom lip, and he growled, tugging her hair harder while his free hand caressed all that smooth, soft skin on her thigh. But the damn center console kept getting in the way, and he couldn't press his body against hers like he wanted to. Impatient and aroused beyond belief, Nate broke the kiss, lifted Chris out of her seat, and planted her on his lap so she straddled him. It took some creative maneuvering, but the convertible's open top helped.
What?
Chris's question, or whatever she'd been about to say, broke off into a soft moan when he scraped his teeth down the delicate length of her throat. He had to hand it to her, though. She bounced back quick.
This is the second kiss.
Another moan when he licked the hollow of her throat and gripped her hips, thrusting his throbbing erection against her core. He'd never hated jeans or underwear, the only barrier separating them more than in that moment.
That wasn't... in the...
She trailed off, her eyes fluttering closed when Nate swept a hand beneath her dress. Technically, we're not kissing, he said in a reasonable, if husky, tone. We're
getting to know each other. Chris's eyes opened at that. Her soft laugh shot straight to his cock, which didn't need any additional encouragement.
Is that what this is?
Yep. Nate's hand edged toward her core while he kept his eyes on her face, searching for any sign that she wanted him to stop. Nope. She was all in. Her nipples were so hard he could see them poking through the thin material of her bra and dress, and her skin was flushed and hot beneath his. She was the sexiest thing he'd ever seen. Nate clenched his jaw, running through baseball rosters and the fucking food pyramid in his mind to keep from coming. Bread, pasta, fruit. Oh, who the hell cares? How well do you think we should get to know each other? He murmured. Silence, except for their heavy breathing, that was. Should we call it a night? Nate maneuvered her backward so she no longer sat directly on him. He brushed his fingers over her core, unsurprised but still pleased to discover she was soaking wet. It's getting late. Chris's eyes flared with both arousal and warning.
I hadn't noticed, she said through gritted teeth.
No? He increased the pressure and smiled at her small whimper. She was getting close. He could tell by the way her breathing changed and the way she ground against his hand. She clutched his arms, her pants growing heavier by the second. Almost there. Just a bit more. Right before Chris tumbled over the edge, Nate pulled his hand away. Her eyes flew open again, and he would have laughed at her stunned indignation if his balls hadn't been bluer than a smurf. Long day. I'm tired. Nate feigned a yawn. Think we should call it a night, but thank you for the kiss. The yawn morphed into a mischievous smile. It was nice getting to know you better. This time he did laugh as Chris scrambled back in fury, but since she was still straddling him, she hit the car horn, which blared through the still night air at the same time as her curse.
You bastard!
Nate's smile widened. Let's get this over with, huh? Try forgetting our first kiss now, he thought smugly. Chapter 11. In hindsight, provoking Chris might not have been the best idea. She could hold a grudge. Don't tell me you're still pissed, Nate said as he trailed her through the Carreras' vast foyer. It's been, he paused, calculating the time. 3 days. Okay, so it hadn't been that long since he gave her the female version of blue balls, but Chris's cold shoulder treatment turned out to be surprisingly effective at filling him with regret. She hadn't talked to him since Saturday night, except for a text this morning telling him to come over after work, since Gloria was going to be home for a Skype meeting with her wedding planner. Chris slid open the glass door leading to the backyard, where the perfectly landscaped grounds boasted everything from clay tennis courts to an Olympic-sized swimming pool to gardens worthy of a royal villa. Gloria likes to come out here in the evening to gossip with her friends, she said, ignoring Nate's statement. So this is where we'll be. She headed toward the giant cabana by the pool, where an older woman with a gray-streaked bun was setting out glasses of lemonade. Thank you, Risa.
Of course.
The woman inclined her head and smiled at Nate before disappearing into the house. He sank into the deep green cushions and sighed. Fine, Chris was still pissed at him, and so was his cock for interrupting its fun. Nate's right hand had been wholly unsatisfactory all weekend, and he seriously regretted his oh-so-bright idea to leave Chris wanting the other night. Men were indeed idiots.
Tonight's the night,
Chris said, crossing her legs. Nate choked on a mouthful of lemonade.
What? Make your move on Gloria. It's already mid-July.
Chris grimaced.
I saw the bridesmaids' dresses this morning, and before you ask yes, my dad forced me to be a bridesmaid. The dresses are monstrosities that should be burned before they breed and multiply. There is no way in hell I am wearing one this November, so let's get this shit done.
Right. She was talking about Gloria. He'd thought. Nate shook his head. Don't you think it's too soon?
It's been weeks.
Chris arched an eyebrow.
I thought you were good.
I am good, he growled. He could have gotten Gloria into a compromising position a while ago, but he found himself strangely reluctant to pull the trigger. Once he finished the job and Chris got her pictures, that was it. No reason for them to see each other anymore, except for her visits to the cafe. The thought didn't sit well with him. At all. But Chris was right. The clock was ticking, and if Nate wanted the rest of the contract money, he'd have to man up. No more pussyfooting around. His family's financial security meant more, should mean more, than a girl he barely knew. Chris didn't even live in L.A., for God's sake. She was leaving at the end of the summer. He released a long, low sigh. Okay, tonight. You got it.
Good.
Chris didn't look all too pleased either. Then again, she never looked pleased, except for when she was writhing and moaning beneath his mouth. And cut. Nate didn't need to spring a boner before work. He cleared his throat. Listen, about the other night.
How's your dad?
She interrupted.
Is he out of the hospital yet?
He paused, recalibrating in light of the abrupt subject change. Yeah, he's fine. Doing well, all things considered. The hospital had released Michael Sunday evening. He'd tried to talk to Nate a few times since he returned home, but Nate had had to run off to work or pick up Skylar each time. He already knew what his father was going to say. I'm sorry, I won't do it again, blah, blah, blah. Then, days or a week later, if they were lucky, Michael would reunite with his friends Jack Daniels and Jose Cuervo, and the cycle started all over again. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt.
And Sky? How is she?
Good. Now that our dad is up and moving again. She's like Teflon. Thank freaking God. While Sky had her typical teenage melodramatic moments, she was overall a good kid and way too mature for her age. Nate wasn't sure if he would have been able to handle a moody, misbehaving teenager on top of everything else in his life. You're still not going to tell me how you guys met, huh? Nate finished his lemonade and set the glass on the table. Chris shrugged.
Like I said, ask
my sister, yeah, yeah. Part of him was suspicious over all the secrecy. If it had been an innocent meeting, why was Chris so close-lipped about it? But he doubted Chris was dealing drugs to his baby sis or involved in anything dangerous. That would be out of character for both of them. Maybe they met at a nightclub. Skylar was underage, but fake IDs abounded in L.A. That wouldn't be the end of the world, though Nate blanched at the thought of his sister drinking and partying it up with the Hollywood crowd. He trusted her. He didn't trust the motherfuckers in this town. He made a mental note to grill Skylar about it the next time he saw her. Chris reached over and grabbed his hand, a soft, sweet expression taking over her face.
Are you sure you won't be able to make it? Think of how romantic a weekend getaway would be.
What? Confusion flitted through Nate at her sudden about-face and nonsensical words, until he smelled the heavy, flowery scent drifting on the breeze. Gloria was here. Without turning his head, Nate smiled and squeezed Chris's hand. I wish I could, babe, but I have to work. I'll make it up to you after you get back, I promise. He had no clue what she had cooked up, but based on her lie, she was leaving him wide open to schedule a tryst with Gloria this weekend without him having to make up an excuse about why he wasn't with Chris. Smart.
Where are you going, darling?
Gloria's syrupy drawl invaded the cabana and stuck to Nate's skin like a thick, gooey film. Nate supposed some guys went for that sweet southern sexpot thing, but Gloria overdid it to the point of cringe.
I was going to have you try on your bridesmaid dress.
The redhead came into view wearing a white crochet halter top and tiny shorts.
I think magenta is just your color.
Of course you do.
Chris said, equally sweet.
Your taste always did run toward the questionable end of the spectrum. As much as I would love to try on my dress, which showcases your aptitude for style so well, I'm afraid I've already booked a spa weekend in Ojai.
Really?
Gloria pushed her sunglasses to the top of her head.
Which spa? Seven Oaks? Chris replied without missing a beat. The other woman's eyes narrowed. Seven Oaks is booked out for the next year.
Chris smiled. The Carrera name opens a lot of doors. But you wouldn't know that, so don't feel too bad.
Her dig at Gloria's engaged but still not Mrs. Carrera yet status hit its mark. The redhead's cheeks flushed, and her body vibrated with anger.
Oops, Chris glanced at her phone. Friend emergency calling, or texting, in this case. Seems like one of my sorority sisters is having major boy problems. I'm going to call her before she does anything crazy. She's a bit melodramatic.
She stood and kissed Nate on the cheek.
I'll be right back.
She left without another glance at Gloria, who took Chris's seat and eyed Nate the way one would eye a prime slab of meat at the butcher's.
So, she purred. Did I hear wrong, or will you not be accompanying our dear Chris to Ojai this weekend?
Nate slouched against the cushions and draped his arms over the back of the couch in a way that he knew exuded casual confidence, sex appeal, and a nonchalant detachment that drove women crazy.
You heard right. His drawl matched hers. I have work, and spas aren't my thing.
Gloria leaned forward, all but giving him an all-access view of her generous cleavage.
What is your thing?
The sexual innuendo dripped like honey. Objectively, Gloria was banging. The red hair, green eyes, and insane body all added up to one firecracker hot package. Nate should have been all over it. But his current tastes were stuck in the petite, dark-haired, sharp-tongued category, and he was as attracted to Gloria as he was toward the half-empty pitcher of lemonade on the table. Maybe less, because that lemonade was amazing. Still, he had a job to do, and he was going to do it damn well.
How can I choose one? Nate hitched up a shoulder. The Lakers, Ferraris, Die Hard, Redheads.
Not his most subtle moment, but screw subtle. The clock was ticking. Besides, judging by the smile on Gloria's face and the gleam in her eyes, it worked.
Chris isn't a redhead, she murmured.
Chris is great.
A purposeful, perfectly timed pause.
But, no, she's not.
A stab of guilt pierced Nate's stomach at the flirty banter. He and Chris weren't dating for real, but it still felt like a betrayal.
And she's out of town this week,
Gloria allowed the suggestion to linger, unspoken in the air.
Yes, she is.
Nate allowed his eyes to go heavy-lidded. I'll need a way to pass the time. Any suggestions? Slimy as fuck. But a guy's gotta do what a guy's gotta do, especially when he was paid to do it. Gloria examined him in silence, like she was debating whether to take this next step. She'd flirted shamelessly with Nate in the past few weeks and had even offered him a BJ once, which he got out of thanks to a perfectly timed interruption by Chris. But this was the first time he'd reciprocated in such an obvious manner.
Come on, Nate thought. You know you want to. Just say it.
Based on what Chris told him, Gloria hadn't seen her fiancé, Chris's father, in months. Assuming she wasn't already banging someone on the side, she had to be crawling out of her skin with sexual frustration. Women who looked like her were used to getting some on a regular basis, and self-pleasure only went so far, as Nate knew firsthand. Pun not intended. Besides, Chris's dad had to be, what, in his 40s, 50s? Probably not stud material, unless he was George Clooney 2.0. Nate no longer had any qualms about shutting their engagement down either, since it was clear Gloria loved her soon-to-be husband the way she loved her fancy car, i.e., it was a useful status symbol that kept her comfortable and brought her places she wouldn't have been able to reach otherwise. In Chris's father's case, it was social and financial rather than a physical destination. No heartfelt, for better or worse shit. Otherwise, Gloria wouldn't be on the verge of fucking her future stepdaughter's fake, but she didn't know that, boyfriend. To prod her along,
Nate stretched his arms over his head, his shirt lifting to reveal a flash of his tanned, tight six-pack. Gloria's eyes dropped to take in the view, and stayed there.
"I hear the restaurant at the Del Mar Hotel is good," she said. "I was planning to make dinner reservations there myself, but I don't mind bringing a plus one, if you're up for it."
"Count me in," Nate said easily. "Nothing gets me going like a good feast." The redhead smirked at his double entendre.
"Good to know. There won't be any Ferraris there."
Her voice dropped to a low purr.
"But I'm sure we can find something else for you to ride."
Nate's grin widened. "Gotcha."
"Chris, dear, can you file this for me?" Bobby Raiden breezed into the office, polished and sophisticated in a sleek white suit and bun. A large black Chanel bag hung on one bony shoulder, and she carried a folder in one hand and a large Starbucks coffee in the other. Grande, iced, sugar-free vanilla latte with soy milk. Natch. She ordered the same thing every day. Bobby tossed the folder on Chris's desk, and a few press clippings slid out. Chris pressed her lips together and forced herself not to lose her shit. Bobby was a family friend, and had done her father a favor by granting Chris a coveted summer assistant position. But Chris did not appreciate being treated like a paper jockey. Assisting a famous Hollywood publicist sounded exciting, but her day-to-day was a whole lot of media monitoring and epic boredom. Scouring the internet for YouTube drama videos and snarky blog posts of Bobby's worst-behaving clients was not her idea of a good time. Who cared about pop star train wreck Riley Kay's latest boyfriend? Chris had met Riley. The girl was as interesting as dish soap, and her slacker boyfriends were worse. "Sure," Chris said through gritted teeth. Bobby's phone rang. No doubt another crisis, like one of her clients taking a swing at the paparazzi. And she was off and running without a second glance in Chris's direction. Chris took the press clippings into the copy room and started the tedious task of scanning each article before she organized them in Bobby's extensive digital collection. The whir of the machine filled the air. Chris tapped her fingers on the table, bored beyond belief. She'd much rather plan Mentor's summer gala than sit in an overly air-conditioned office pretending she gave a shit about coddling celebrities. Chris had nothing against celebrities. She just didn't want to work for them. She was Chris Carrera, for Christ's sakes. When she turned 23, she was going to inherit a trust fund that would make most of these stars' net worths look like pennies. She slipped another press clipping onto the glass. 2 more hours until she could leave and work on the Mentor Gala. She enjoyed event planning, and she liked the mentees a hell of a lot more than she liked the newest teen idol. Chris's phone buzzed with an incoming text. "Nate, what are you doing tonight?" Her heart flipped. It was so sudden and unexpected, she actually stumbled and nearly twisted her ankle in her Louboutins. What the hell? She hoped she wasn't having a heart attack. She was too young and beautiful to die. Chris stared at Nate's message. No more flips, but the stupid organ in her chest pounded like she'd just finished a marathon. She liked it better when she was pissed at him, like she'd been... Wow, had that only been 4 days ago? The Ferris wheel, the hospital, their kiss. It all felt like a lifetime ago. And yet, her skin flushed and her blood pounded at the memories of his lips and hands on her like they were making out right now on top of the copier. "Get it together." Chris sucked in a deep breath and after a minute of deliberation, typed a terse reply. "Chris." "Party planning." "Nate."
"Victory party."
She assumed he meant victory over Gloria. She couldn't believe he'd closed a hotel date with the step monster. Well, she could, but she'd been planning it for so long it seemed surreal. It had gone a long way toward dousing her anger over his dick move on Saturday. "Chris." "No, but I like the way you think." Chris mentally added, "Plan victory celebration" to her to-do list. "Nate."
Any chance you're free for another victory party tonight? Nate, I got a new role. For Oscar Bravo's latest movie. It's a small part, but it's with Oscar freaking Bravo. Figured that's worthy of dinner. A grin spread across Chris's face as pride fizzled in her chest. When was the last time she'd been this excited over someone else's accomplishments? Probably never. Chris, are you asking me on a date? Nate, do you want it to be a date? The fluorescent lights hummed overhead, and Chris's heart did another flip. She'd always imagined she would die in her bed, dressed in her most glamorous Oscar de la Renta gown and smelling of Chanel perfume. Now she was sure she was going to die in this tiny beige room surrounded by reams of printer paper and finicky office equipment. She had no other reason for why her heart was acting up. But until death claimed her, Chris had to respond to Nate's question. Did she want to go out on a date with him? Logic said she shouldn't. She'd hired him to seduce her father's fiancé, and they were from two different worlds, Mars and Venus, Saturn and Jupiter, Mercury and Pluto. She didn't care what anyone said. Pluto was a planet. Chris, I can spare a few hours. Chris, since you're starring opposite Oscar freaking Bravo and all. Question evaded. It was the coward's way out, but she'd never claimed to be a brave hero. There was a long pause, longer than the one Chris had taken to answer, before Nate replied. Nate. Starring might be an overstatement, but I'll take it. Meet me at Marina Del Rey, 7 p.m. Chris. Sounds good. She stared at the screen for a while longer before pocketing her phone. Her stomach was all twisted up in knots. If she didn't know better, she'd say she was nervous. It's not a date. It's a celebratory dinner. Chris? Bobby's voice cut across the office and scratched against the walls like nails on a chalkboard. Are you finished with the filing? I want to see all press mentions of Riley Kay in the past 24 hours, ASAP. Shit. Chris had forgotten about the press clippings. Almost done. She injected her voice with enough sugar to give everyone in a 50-foot radius cavities. Chris picked out the Riley Kay articles and scanned them first, cursing Bobby, her father, and Gloria under her breath. She should have chosen a more exciting summer job, like scraping gum off the sidewalk. At least then she could have worked on her tan. Chris glanced at the clock. An hour and a half until the end of the workday. A lot of other assistants stayed late, but she wasn't trying to climb up the company ranks or impress Bobby. She had zero compunction about leaving at 5 p.m. sharp. It was bullshit anyway, this whole stay after hours to prove your commitment work ethic. If management wanted people to stay later, they should adjust salaries and working hours accordingly. Don't even get Chris started on the free internships, though thankfully she'd never have to take one. Like, hello, people should be paid for their work. Not to mention they had lives outside of the office. If anyone tried to shaft her out of her dues, she'd shove a Jimmy Choo up their stingy ass. Chris fed the last article into the scanner. 90 minutes. The only thing that got her through the rest of the day was the prospect of dinner with Nate. Chapter 12. What is this? Chris stared at the structure in front of her. Nate grinned at her from the deck, looking ridiculously handsome with his windswept brown hair and green t-shirt that matched the color.